morning.
It is so good to see you face to face this morning. As Pastor Tim alluded to, we get to see some of you on Wednesday nights. We try and get on the Wednesday night Zoom when we can do that. From time to time, we can even watch the video broadcast of the service here. And it's been a blessing to us to be part of our home church, to be better in the know about what's going on here, pray with you, and see how God is working among our home church here. But truly a joy for us to be here with you this morning. For some of you who may not know us, we are David and Konse Roof. We are EC missionaries who work with One Mission Society. We work in Brazil. We work in the city of Belém, which you may not know where the city of Belém is. We work also in some of the interiors of Belém, but something that may help you localize where we are is it's right at the mouth of the Amazon River. So if you can imagine South America, Brazil, and the Amazon flowing through it, that's where we are. 1 degree below the equator, at sea level, tropics, hot weather, very to the contrary of what we're having this morning. But we were glad when we came up. It was still somewhat summerish weather in September when we set foot here in Pennsylvania. And the Lord has been gracious, helping us acclimate to what we knew would become a cooler climate, as it's been a rather mild fall this fall. It brings back a lot of memories when we're here and when we're home, because we look out and see so many familiar faces. People have watched us grow from being a young missionary couple going out to Brazil, stepping out in faith. We actually had below in what I still call the commons. I think there's another name for it down below here. But that was our send-off party down in there 22 years ago. We were being sent off into the mission field. Our commissioning happened in the Zion church here. So our missionary experience has been very intertwined with Christ Community Church. We've had teams that have come and have helped us in actual construction and what's going on there. We dream of having teams come even still and work with us. But I want to talk a little bit about an evolving theme in our ministry. A verse that we were using even way back when we were down below here on our send-off party to Brazil. Proverbs 16:9. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. As we began to look at going back to Brazil, Konse and I were married in Brazil, and there's a whole history that many of you in the church know before that, and I don't want to go into all that detail here today, but I want to pick up a little bit with the story of us going with OMS and being in Belém. In this verse that was very real to us as young missionaries, and as we were somewhat stepping out into the unknown, not knowing, we knew God had called us. We knew that there was a desire in our heart to go and to be able to minister in Brazil, to be able to evangelize into Brazil. We had a burden for church planting in Brazil due to previous experiences we had had with teen missions in our days there. And we knew there was a plan, and we planned. And we knew that it would take the Lord to direct our steps. And we stepped out in faith, very literally, going to Brazil with OMS, because we never imagined that we would be going to southern Brazil. Belém is in northern Brazil where we are today, but God had directed our path to go to a city called Londrina in southern Brazil, our very first assignment with OMS. And we went there and got involved with the churches there and with the camp there. And we actually were able to be involved in our very first church plant there. Not understanding why the Lord had taken us to the south, when our plans were always to be in the north. And as we were in the south, we began to see that, yes, God is directing our steps, because we found out with our national church that their desire was to have churches in all, at the time, 26 states of Brazil. And who more obvious to send up to the mouth of the Amazon River than David and Conce to Belém? That's where we were married. That's where our hearts were, in Brazil. And we saw throughout our first term that dream, that desire that was in our heart, God directing our paths to go to the south, to not only be prepared to go back up to the north and open up a new region of Brazil, not only for OMS, but for a national church, but to satisfy the desires of our heart to be up north, and to satisfy the desires of the heart of our national church to be expanding into another region of Brazil. An amazing thing. At the beginning of our ministry, that was so real to us, continues to be so real to us. But as God's word is alive, it's something that lives. God sometimes begins to tweak his word that we get a little bit of a new understanding of what he's told us, of what he said. And I can illustrate that by looking at another translation of this verse. This is from the International Children's Bible. And we read that a person may think up his plans, but the Lord decides what he will do. We began to see the decisions of the Lord working out in our lives. We didn't understand why we would end up going with OMS to southern Brazil. Other than that, the Lord had called us. We had such a sense that this was where he was calling us when we visited. God had decided us, had decided for us to go south so he could prepare us to go north. And after we had spent 2 years here on a furlough due to a bout of cancer that Conce had, and the church came alongside us and helped us so much, in 2008, we did go up to northern Brazil, where we are today, in the city of Belém. We began ministering there, and we began to see that God's decisions were certain, that God continues to get us sometimes by surprise when we plan our ways. He still has decisions that he makes, puts circumstances in our life and ministry that we didn't expect. And I'm going to just go bring things up to a little closer in time here, to 2019. This is what I call our last prayer letter when things were still normal. This was our end of the year prayer letter in 2019. Before things got crazy like they did for all of us, we had one of our sister churches there from Royersford, the Royersford EC Church, the Lighthouse Church, brought a team to us, and we planned what they were going to do. They helped us build a sidewalk around the church in Iquota C. And we had some evangelistic outreach planned. And even at that time, in those decisions we had made, the planning we made, God brought to us the unexpected. We had opportunity with the team to go into a local high school 2 times and just plainly share the gospel. Something that wasn't planned, but something that God decided, this is what I want to do. And through some tragic circumstances that happened, there were 2 students from that school drowning in the river. And the whole student body just being desolated and really down with that. The school director, the principal, knew that we were just blocks away and invited us to go in and to share the gospel and to bring comforting words. And Pastor Wayne, he shared from the gospel plainly God's truth. One of those unexpected things. I also talked about in this last normal letter about the coming of Pastor Jonas in Virginia to help us in the work out at Jukeri. And you've heard me talk about them in our prayer letters and so forth. Something that was unexpected to us. A retired couple, Pastor Jonas well into his 70s. His wife Virginia just turning 70. And at their retirement, they decided there's still more for us to do. And God put on their hearts for us to come up to Jukeri and help us in our work in the interior. And here at the end of 2019, they were coming, and we never imagined how important they would be in the next phase that was to come as we went through COVID and all the things that we've all been through in these past few years. So we see God, he directed our steps. We saw that God, he decided how he's going to do it. He put people, circumstances into our paths, into our plans that we never really thought about. It was a sovereign thing. It was him bringing it about. And finally, I'd like to share from the Living Bible. We should make plans, counting on God to direct us. These past few years, from the end of 2019 all the way up to the present here, November of 2022, God has really been working this aspect of our lives, counting on God to do it. We can make our plans, but boy, how we need to count on God to do it. All of us can relate to it from these past few years, a pandemic and things just getting so out of our norm. And then we talk about when the new norm comes, we're now in the new norm. And we just got to count on God to do it. We have to count on God to show us the path of how to react in the new norm. Things have changed so much from even just 2019. And we're in such a new reality. And we plan, and we think, and we come before God, and we pray, and we open our hearts. And you know, we have the promise that we can count on God who will do it. He hasn't stopped directing. He hasn't stopped deciding. We just need to simply continue counting on the Lord to direct our ways, to direct our path, to open up to us. So these past years have brought us to counting on God's direction. We always knew he could do it, but sometimes our hearts are hard. Sometimes, no, God, I've got my plans. And how often do we not count on God to really direct our paths and bring about what he wants? I want to show you, and we've shared several times on Zoom about what God is doing in Jukiri, and that's where I'm going to concentrate, because in our last term, that's basically where Konsei and I have been concentrating. In the Jukiri Church, it is the daughter church of the Ikorasi Church. Ikorasi is a district of Beleng, and Jukiri has become a daughter church. It's become kind of the ends of the earth for our mother church in Ikorasi to reach out with the gospel. It's 90 miles away from where the Ikorasi church is. It's along another river, the Moju River. Takes at least 3 hours to make that trip out there. I once posted a video on YouTube that you can kind of see how that trip goes. But that is where Konsei and I have been concentrating our work. And as you know, we've been building a church out there these past few years. And I just want to quickly show, this is the only video where I'm going to just kind of let the video show what's going on, but show how, in a time lapse, how that church building has gone. It goes back to 2018 when we were meeting in a pavilion that was literally carved out of the jungle on the other side of the Moju River. And kind of brings us up to where we are today in the community of Jukiri and the building that God has helped us to build there. This was the pavilion back in 2018. This was where we were with the work there. In 2020. We were able to purchase a piece of property in the middle of the pandemic. Cleared the land. We were able to begin construction of what is now our permanent church in Jukiri. Those tall trees in the background are Brazil nut trees. If anybody ever wondered what a Brazil nut tree looks like. Sunday morning program with the kids on the house porch. Pastor Jonas and Virginia, who had joined us. We got smart by the end and began to do our pours in late afternoon, so it got into evening to beat the heat. Some of our people. Inauguration on Palm Sunday of this year, April 10th. What a way to celebrate Palm Sunday. Goes quick in a 2-minute video showing that, a time lapse, but that was actually over a period of more than 2 years, that building process. And it was definitely the most difficult building project I've ever been in logistically. The logistics of getting material out there and getting people gathered together to work and all. In essence, it's a miracle. Palm Sunday of this year, to me, I just stood back in awe at a miracle that God had done, that we were able to build a church out in the interior of Brazil. So many pieces that came together, and then we were able to gather together as a congregation. The picture there is a little bit deceptive in that our church isn't always that full on a Sunday morning, but we had gathered there people from our church in Icoraci, the mother church, got a minibus and a van and came out. We had our church president come from way down south in Londrina. Our seminary president was there, and we were able to join and just fill that place praising the Lord and dedicating that church to the Lord on Palm Sunday this year. As much of a miracle as that was, and I have a show and tell item here this morning. This is a brick that comes from the construction site there in Jucuri. And as much as it was a miracle to gather 3,000 bricks out there, and all the piles of sand and stone and hundreds of bags of cement and be able to build a church out there, we know that the church isn't the bricks and the mortar. We know that the church is something much more, that it's the people. It's the body of Christ that God Himself wants to bring together in all the work that goes on out in Jucuri. So, as much as I like to build, and as much as I've handled thousands of these bricks, along with our masons and others helping us, our prayer was always, Lord, it's not the miracle of this building going up, but it's the miracle of what you're going to do in hearts and lives. And I'd like to take it from that aspect here this morning. Pick up the story a little bit with the people who make up the church, the people whose lives God is touching. And I'd like to go a little bit back to Christmas of last year. In Christmas of 2021, by that time we had kind of come to sort of a slow part in the building. We didn't have a whole lot of funding. Things had kind of stopped. The church was sitting there in somewhat of a half built way. You can see there's no plaster on the walls, there's no windows, and there's no glass in the windows. And as Christmas came along, we thought, you know, let's clean up that construction site. Let's have our very first service in the church, a Christmas service celebrating the coming of our Lord as Savior. And we did that. We cleaned the church up. We took some of the old pews we had, chairs we had, we put them in the church there, and we had our Christmas service. You see some scenes of that scrolling by there on the screen. And it was a wonderful time of speaking about the Savior who came, of explaining to people why it was that we as a church were interested in being there. Why was it that we wanted to gather as a people there? And it was the only Christmas service I've ever experienced in my life where three people came forward and accepted Jesus as the Lord and Savior. I've never had somebody accept Jesus in a Christmas service before. Sometimes we get so caught up in the story and stuff, but we miss what the story is all about, giving the invitation for somebody to come forward. And in those simple, rustic settings there, the presence of the Holy Spirit was so great. And three people coming forward and giving their lives to Jesus Christ. It was just a great kickoff of what we knew of what was things to come, even amidst all the hard work, even amidst all the challenges that we face in going out to Jukiri. So that kicked it off for us. Obviously, we had the inauguration then on Palm Sunday. And by that time, the church was finished enough. We actually launched having our services every Sunday in the church there. And I want to just introduce you to some of our congregation. The little girl on the left-hand, lower left-hand corner there, that's Maiza. Maiza is our most faithful young attendant. She is at everything we do. Saturday morning programs, which we call Terra da Promessa, the Promised Land, very much on a good news club sort of format that we hold on Saturday mornings. Right above her, you see some more kids gathered at the church. Bible lessons, singing, a craft, that format. That has been sort of one of the steadfast ministries of the church out along Jukiri. I want to draw your attention to the top right. Not a very good picture, but you see two heads there of gray hair. On the left is Dona Maria. She was our first adult convert out at Jukiri about 3 years ago when Pastor Jonas and Virginia came. It wasn't long she accepted Jesus as her Lord and Savior, and she was our first baptism out along the Moju River. Right next to her is Dona Mica. She was somebody who opened up her home to us, and we had many home services in her home. But it wasn't until Christmas of last year she was one of the three who came forward and accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The remaining picture down in the bottom is actually one of the ministries of the church. You'll see the person standing in the background there. That's Virginia, Pastor Jonas's wife. And she is giving what we call Verdades Básicas, or Basic Truths course. It's a discipleship course where anybody who's accepted the Lord, we want to make sure they get in that. Anybody who hasn't accepted the Lord, we encourage them to get into that because it's evangelistic as we go through it. And there are people who accept Jesus Christ through the Verdades Básicas class. Most recent is the young man in red seated there in the left-hand side of the picture. His name is David. My name in Portuguese, David, David. Right before we left for furlough, he was finishing up his Verdades Básicas, accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. And it was just great to know that David found Jesus as Lord and Savior, a young man who we can disciple and see grow up. Some of the ministries of the church, of course, the kids. That's a presentation the kids did where they all on paper plates had part of the story that they did and then were singing. That was actually during our inauguration. They were a very big part of the inauguration program there. We've actually been in Jukiri for 13 years now as a church, sending teams out there. It started off on the other side of the river under a mango tree, literally. Under a mango tree. We eventually got into the pavilion there. A lot of things brought us over to the other side in the community of Jukiri itself, much easier to get to. We can park the cars nearby, and we can actually build a permanent building there on the other side. Everything has to be up on stilts, and it's just very complicated. But kids have always been a part of what we do out there, and it's through the kids we've been able to begin to reach parents and have seen parents coming to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Very important, reaching the kids. Stephanie was sharing in Sunday school this morning how blessed she is to be involved in children's ministries and how key that is to a church. Even just things like trunk or treat, which we were able to participate in. Kids come, we get to meet the parents, talk to them. The upcoming holiday parade, throwing candy out there. Kids coming, but we mix shoulders with the community. It works. It's an in we have. Parents begin to see their kids changing, the way they respond to their parents, their habits changing, because these kids accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. They most of them have raised their hand during an invitation. And what a challenge, and yet what a privilege to be able to disciple young children who are going to be the future of the church. And very much that has happened. 13 years have gone by. Those who were kids 13 years ago are now, some of them, young parents themselves. So we started out at Jukati, a Saturday night youth program. It happens right now on the first Saturday of every month. To be able to get the kids, those who were kids and are now young adults, offer them something to come to. Time for them to share informally. We have a little bit of teaching of the word, but it's in that informal way where they can ask questions and we can go back and forth. Then we have a game time together and a snack time together. Give them an alternative to some of the challenges they face, even in the interior. In a small community like Jukiri, some of the challenges we face is drinking that goes on. Saturday night is a big drinking night for a lot of the guys. They go down to the river and drink into the wee hours of the morning. How we need, as a church, to give that alternative, something better, a different light. Teenage pregnancy is very prevalent in the area we work. 13, 14-year-old girls. Something else we don't often think about here, but is spiritism is very real in Brazil. Different derivatives of it, but if you look back in the history of Brazil, voodoo came over with some of the slaves, and it took on its own form in Brazil, which is called Macumba in Brazil, and that is very prevalent in the community where we work. We had a young girl who was ill. She comes on Saturday mornings with us, is there most mornings in our Sunday morning service, and she got ill. And where did her parents go for help? They went to the equivalent of the witch doctor. Called the witch doctor over. We just claimed, Lord, Francine, she belongs to you, Lord. Whatever he's doing, don't let it have any power or influence on her life, because she belongs to you. She's covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we offer an alternative there for the young kids. We hope that it can grow from being just one Saturday night a week to being every Saturday night a week. That's our goal. And we will get there as we have leadership growing and as we have people of the church who are able to take on that challenge and be with the young people. In the bottom picture there is our women's meetings. We call it abençoarte. It's kind of a made-up word, but would be basically like saying blessings art. And the ladies come together, make a craft together, have a time of devotion together, a time of sharing, a time of praying. And we've had that for years in our church in Icoraci. And we do it in Jucari as well. And it becomes a very effective way to reach out to women. And maybe some women who wouldn't come to church any other way come and experience the sweet fellowship of Jesus Christ for the first time, attracted by the crafts. This was our second baptism. Our very first baptism was Dona Maria, which I told you, our very first adult convert out there in Jukiri. This baptism here, we baptized four just before we came home for furlough. That is Pastor Jonas doing the baptizing there in the picture. I can't say enough about Pastor Jonas in Virginia. Remember I said in 2019, when everything was normal, Here come Pastor Jonas and Virginia. By their own decision, by God's directing their steps, speaking to their hearts, they came, and they were so important to us through the whole pandemic, living in the community there. And when things were literally shut down, churches, businesses, same thing out in the small communities, even in the interior. We couldn't meet for church there. We were shut down. But Pastor Jonas and Virginia, they were there. And I must mention, there were times we literally couldn't drive out there because there were literal police roadblocks between communities. You couldn't leave where you were and get into another community. But God was so far ahead of us. He was doing what he had decided he was going to do, and he placed Pastor Jonas and Virginia in Jukiri, living there among the people, and they made their rounds even though they couldn't meet for church, house to house, doing visits, sometimes visiting just through a window, an open window, sometimes on a porch with all the distancing, all that things, but time to encourage, to pray, to check in on how people were doing, show the love of Christ. So important to us. Pastor Jonas, so thrilled. Their dream was to be able to see this cycle of people accepting Jesus, people going through discipleship, people coming to a decision to be baptized, and they are so fulfilled in seeing this becoming reality in times that were so difficult these past few years that we've been through. We're so thankful for Pastor Jonas in Virginia, and God being way ahead of us in knowing how to direct them and deciding to have them there so that they would be there for us in a time when they were so critical. Of course, as we think about church life, we have our times of celebration. And the little left video there was on a children's day and just celebrating together with the kids what it is to be part of a church, to be part of a family that God is creating there. We had the theme that day was Noah's Ark. That was their lesson. And all that interaction. And then we were able to rent a little trampoline and a little slidey board that came in by canoe. I went down to the river and picked that stuff up off the canoe. And we drove it off in a trailer I have up to the house. And then the other video that's still showing there was one of our anniversaries. This was our 11th year anniversary. As I said, we've been out there 13 years, but already celebrating as a family in Christ and what God is doing. Some of you have asked about our son, Andrew. And the top left picture is Andrew. He was actually able to come down and be there for the inauguration of the new church. We're so blessed that he was there. And he is with our second oldest member of the Equator Sea Church, Gio Narchi is his name. Man of vigor. When we got there in 2008 and began building the church in Equator Sea, he was my right-hand man. And at 72 years old, he was already tiring me out trying to work beside him. He's now well into his 80s. He's slowed up a little bit. He's not as much there physically doing things. But he tells us now he's our prayer warrior. And every week he sends us a message. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for your son. I'm praying for the churches that support you. So it's wonderful to see how God's family is expanding and how we're growing together. This was Father's Day in August. Father's Day is in August. Mother's Day is the same as here, but Father's Day in Brazil is in August. And going to start on the right-hand picture. Those are the Leonas. That's Leoná Sr. and Leoná Jr. Leoná Jr., he started coming to the church. He tells us he's going to be a pastor. And we're praying that God will develop that in his life. His dad is actually smiling in that picture. His dad was one of the hardest people to come up to and have a conversation. He'd come up, how are you doing, Leoná? Good. But look at him smiling there. He started coming to the church because his wife was another one who came forward at the Christmas service and accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. His son, Leoná, is faithful in coming to not only the children's programs on Sundays, but our Sunday morning programs. And he invited Dad to Father's Day, and his dad comes to most of our Sunday mornings. Hasn't accepted the Lord yet, but it seems so close. Amanda, in the middle picture there, giving a hug to her dad. She was one of the little girls 13 years ago when we started out in Mojou. Is now grown, is a mother. Invited her dad to come to our Father's Day celebration. Her parents are now coming pretty regularly to the church. They've come to us. They're not married. They've come to us and say, we want to take the step of marriage and be married officially on paper. Results of sowing for many years, seeing people growing, being persistent at it, of letting God's intervention come when we physically couldn't go out, saying that God had already placed Pastor Jonas in Virginia out there. Pastor Jonas is on that left picture beside his neighbor, Roberto. Roberto, he hardly ever comes to church, but he came on Father's Day by invitation of his youngest daughter, who faithfully comes every Saturday morning to our Terra da Promessa. Invited him to come on Father's Day, and he came and heard the word, felt the love of the Lord. It's amazing to see how God is bringing a community together. It's not all easy. The compilation of the church being built looks like it went pretty easy. That was more than 2 years. Sometimes we literally have barriers like trees that fall on the road on the way out to Jukiri. This met us one morning when we were out there going out for the Terra da Promessa program. And of course, you've heard us talk about our trials with the ferry. When the bridge that accesses the island we live on, we live on an island called Otero, an island that has one bridge that goes onto it, and a barge came and knocked the center pillar out, and the bridge got closed. And for months and months, we were dependent on a ferry. That beautiful picture there on the left, but so many trials, waiting in long lines. If we got across on the ferry quick, it was at least an hour to go 300 meters. If one night it took us over 6 hours to get home because of problems there. And then getting up early to be able to get out to Jukiri, we thought, okay, the pandemic's finally over. Things are getting back to normal. Boom, down went the pillar on the bridge. The bridge got closed. I'd get up at 2 in the morning. So I could get the car packed and we could be at the ferry by 5 in the morning to make sure we got the first crossing so we could get all the way out to Jukiri by 9 in the morning. And then our work began. and just barriers sometimes that are there. But even at the ferry, we began to realize God's still in control. We're counting on God to do this. I don't know how many good conversations Conti and I had in the car waiting for the ferry. I don't know how many times God just spoke to my heart, David, calm down. You can't do it all. Count on me. I've never prayed for patience, but I've learned a lot about patience because of waiting for that ferry. Thankfully, second week of July, shortly before we came back up here for furlough, the bridge partially opened, allowing cars to go over one from one side at a time back and forth, much better than waiting for the ferry. But all the lessons we learned by waiting for that ferry. Many other obstacles, challenges that we've had. But I want to get to my last slide here. This is a picture that was taken back on Palm Sunday, another picture during the inauguration that one of our members took that picture. And this picture really does remind me of the Lord who directs our steps, the Lord who decides what he will do. And it's our role to count on God to do what he's going to do. In this picture, I see how God orchestrates far beyond our capacity. Who would have thought that we could have built a building in the midst of a pandemic? But there it is. God decided he was going to do it. All we had to do was get up every morning and count on him to do it. Take the step. Go forward with what he had put on our hearts. He just simply told us, do what I would have you do. I remember back in Bible school, back in the late 80s, sort of the cliche, I went to a Bible school that had concentration on missions, and sort of the cliche for us up-and-coming missionaries was, yeah, you're going to go out there and you're going to, you know, work, show the example, and work yourself out of a job. Do you remember that cliche way back in the 1980s? That was good for then. It was good for us when we began our missionary journey with OMS. Kind of thought, okay, Lord, I'll plan my way and I'll let you direct our steps to bring about what it is that I'm planning. I'll just work myself out of a job and you'll direct me how to do that. As I look back on that, that cliche is a little bit limited. It's a little bit short-sighted. I guess maybe if God had shown us all the steps, all the places he's going to take us, maybe it would have scared us a little bit, especially if we'd have seen these past few years. But God, he was looking beyond. Today, we still plan, but I'm much more conformed to let God decide what he will do, whether it's in step with my planning or not. I never planned to build a church in Jukiti. 5 years ago, I would have said, no, it can't happen. And yet, in the midst of the most difficult circumstances, a pandemic, God said, no, but this is what I've decided. Count on me. And we counted on him. Challenges came, yeah, but we found that just counting on God is definitely the way to go. It's the best ride you can get. When everything's going off the tracks, everything we've sort of planned, and you just see, you know, it just seems like God is opening up this door. Go through it. Do it. See what God has. It's like a roller coaster. You're going up and you get the biggest thrill in your life. There's the low points, there's the difficult points, but in the end, you think, wow, what a ride. Look what God has done. Who are we that this could have happened? It's not because of us. It's not because of us that a congregation is forming in Jukiti. It's not because of us that we're finding cooperation between our mother church in Icoraci and our Brazilian denomination in Brazil, the missionary church. The Brazilian church came alongside us as a denomination, and they supported and sent Pastor Jonas and Virginia as domestic missionaries up to us. We didn't request it, but God spontaneously had things happen, and we said, yeah, that's a good thing. And then God brings us, me, a gringo. What in the world am I doing in the middle of the Amazon jungle building churches? There's other people who speak the language better. There's other people who even understand construction better. But God orchestrated it. 22 years ago, we stood down in the commons there, not knowing about all the adventures God has. And you, together, said, we sense in your lives that God has called you and sent us out. And somehow God brings all this together. That's the miracle. That's what's been so impressive to us in these past years. And that brings me to my brick one more time. I said, we know the church built out of these bricks isn't the church. We know that it's the people that God brings together. But do you know this brick can represent us? You know, this brick is all but talked about. in Scripture. I end this morning with Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. Think about this brick and hear these words. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. This brick reminds me of us together as God's people. Each one of us, individuals, each one of us with different talents, each one of us even with a different call that God has given us, yet just like a church that's being brought together, one brick at a time, we are being joined together in a spiritual house. The church in this world, where the Holy Spirit dwells, where we are no longer strangers or foreigners as we give our hearts and lives to Jesus Christ, but we are the body of Christ coming together. I'm no longer just a gringo in Brazil, but God has taken my individual brick and set me in alongside with a lot of Brazilians. And we're all the way down in the Amazon, and we're part of this spiritual house that God is building, where the Holy Spirit is indwelling. And when I travel all the way up here, I find I'm on another part of the wall where God is placing you as bricks, as building material in this holy temple that's being built. And we're part of the biggest building project on this earth, God's church. His people, a people who want to reach out, who want to be light in times that seem so unsure to us in this new that we live, and we're still trying to figure it all out. God is just saying, go along for the ride. Count on me. Plan. Think about it. See the opportunities. I'm able to bring it together. We are no longer strangers, foreigners, Brazilians, Americans. We are God's people come together for his purposes on this earth. That's the best I can express it to you this morning. What's on our hearts, what God has done. I want you to know so much how you're a part of what God is doing, how you mean so much to us. In your support, in your prayers, in your friendship, the Wednesday nights when we can talk with you and see some of you through Zoom. Let's continue on this building project. Let's count on God to do it because this is the best ride that we'll ever have. God bless you. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Dave. What a marvelous report from the front lines of God's work in Brazil. I'm ready for that next mission trip south. How about you? I hear the coffee's really good down there. Let's go. Let's do it. Let's help our brother and sister. Thank you so much. It all began 22 years ago down in Zinn Commons with that commissioning, and that's where we're going to go next after the benediction and our closing hymn. We're going to go downstairs and share a meal together with the Roofs and others and hear more about their adventure. And I think it would be good to have a sort of a recommissioning. Maybe that's not the right term, but I'd like to have special prayer as we send them out yet again to the next leg of their journey as they seek to follow God's leadership in their lives. For now, let's stand together and close our worship service with hymn number 482, Remember All the People. Let's stand together, worship the Lord. And now may the Lord make you increase and abound in love one for another, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before God our Father.